Now let us begin Masechta Pesachim. This Masechta discusses four different areas. The first three prakim talk about the Isser of Chametz. The fourth parak talks about the Melacha, and doing Melacha on Erev Pesach. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth prakim talk about the Karban Pesach. And finally, the tenth parak talk about the Halachas of the night of the Seder. Now the first question we need to ask is, why is this Masechta called Masechta Pesachim in the plural form? Why isn't it in the singular form, the same way we call Masechta Yuma, Masechta Taimis, Masechta Sukkah? There are a number of reasons. First of all, we know that there's really the regular Pesach, which happens Tesvav Nisan, and there's also Pesach Sheni. And since we have a Pesach Rishon and a Pesach Sheni, therefore we refer to it as Masechta Pesachim because it discusses both of these. The Meiri also gives a teretz that in the days of the Ga'anim, the Masechta was divided into two parts. The first part included the first four prakim and the tenth parak of what is today Masechta Pesachim. It spoke about the halachas of Chametz and the Leil HaSeder. The second part of the Masechta, which included the fifth through the ninth parak, discussed Karban Pesach. So the first part was called Masechta Pesach Rishon. The second part was called Masechta Pesach Sheni. When they were combined, they formed one combination, which in combination was called Masechta Pesachim, to include the Masechta called Pesach Rishon and the Masechta called Pesach Sheni. The first few prakim talk about the Isur of Chametz. So let us define what Chametz is and what are the Isurim, both Los Aseh and Aseh, relating to Chametz. First of all, let us define what exactly is Chametz. Chametz results when one of the five species of grain, barley, rye, oats, wheat, or spelt, or their derivatives, is allowed to remain undisturbed in contact with water for 18 minutes or more. Now, if the water is hot or salted, chametz results instantly if these grains touch them. So that's basically the definition of what chametz is. Now, regarding chametz, there are really three isurim that are associated with chametz. There is an isur achila, there is an isur hanah, and there is an isur of possession. The isur of achila we learn from the pasuk in Shmais Yud Beis, pasuk Tes Vav, Shivas Yomim Matzois Taichelu, Ki Chol Oichel Chametz V'Nichrasa HaNefesh Ahi MiYisrael. That tells you you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. The isur hanah we learn from Shmais Yud Gimel, pasuk Gimel, V'lo Ye'ochel Chametz. Anything that could potentially lead you to any type of achila at all, as we see in Pesachim Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, including Hana, for example, you're not allowed to do. So therefore, that's how you see the Isser of Hana. And finally, the Isser of possession comes in two forms. Possession basically means that you're not allowed to have chametz at all in your Rishus on Pesach. And if you do this, you're actually over on Tulavin. Even if he doesn't eat any of it, you're over on Tulavin. What are the Tulavin? Shmos Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin says, V'lo yera lecha chametz, v'lo yera lecha so'ar b'chol gvulecha. And in Shmos Yud Beis Yud Tes, we see Shivas Yomim Se'ar Lo Yimatzei Bivateichem. You're not allowed to find any chametz in your houses. These are known as the Yisurim of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. Now, aside from this, we have a separate mitzvah saseh, which we learn from Shmos Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes Vav. Ach B'yom HaRishon Tashbisu So'ar Bivateichem. This tells you that you're supposed to get rid of, you're supposed to dispose of all chametz that you have in your Rishus. This mitzvah is the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu. From these psukim we know that you're supposed to get rid of the chametz. Now, how do you get rid of chametz? There are two ways to do this. Number one, bitul chametz, and number two, bir chametz. Bitul chametz means you nullify all chametz that you own. In other words, you resolve firmly within your mind that all chametz that belongs to you is considered ka'afra dara. And basically what this means is by nullifying the chametz, it becomes hefker. It becomes like you don't own it at all, and therefore you wouldn't be over, and therefore not only that you're not over, but you're Mekayim, the mitzvah of Tashbisa. The other way to do it is to search your house, make a bedikas chametz, find all the chametz that's in your rishus, and then destroy it to the point where you can't get any benefit from it anymore. Now, nowadays we have a third method, which is called mechiras chametz. This is selling the chametz to a guy. So therefore, since it no longer belongs to you, you're not over the Isurim of Bal Yiraya, Bal Yimatzeh. Today we say that you do both Bittul and Bir, and in fact we do Mechiras Chametz also. The question is, why isn't Bittul enough? The answer is very simple. Since people have different feelings and different thoughts about things, Chazal were afraid that if someone had a high-value chametz in his possession, in his heart, maybe he was really not that interested in getting rid of it. So therefore the bittul would not be chal, so therefore they said that you need beer also to ensure that the person would not be over bal yira bal yamatzah. The final question is, when does one get rid of the chametz? We learn from the pasuk of ach b'yayim arishon tashbisu that the word ach divides the day, Erev Pesach, into two parts. Before chatzais, chametz is mutter midaraisa. After chatzais, chametz is aser midaraisa. Bein b'achila, bein b'hana. But the chachamim were afraid that someone may come to miscalculate the time of chatzais. Therefore they said that the only time a person is able to both eat and have hana from chametz is until the end of the fourth hour. So until the end of the fourth hour, chametz is mutter b'achila and mutter b'hana. Till the end of the fifth hour, it is aser b'achila, but it's mutter b'hana. In other words, that's the hour that we burn it. After 5 hours, chametz is aser b'achila and aser b'hana midirabanan. And once you get to chatzais, everything becomes aser midaraisa. Now let us actually begin Masechta Pesachim from the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Or li'arba asar baitkin es hachametz li'ar haner. The night before Erev Pesach, in other words, the night of Erev Pesach, we make a bedika on our houses to check for chametz in the houses, and we use a candle. Any place where we normally don't put chametz, we do not need a bedika. The lama amru shtei shuras b'marteif. We said according to the chachamim in a previous area, the chachamim say we have to check two rows of a wine cellar. Now, why is it that we have to check a wine cellar? We know that we normally don't put chametz in a wine cellar. So the Mishnah says, makam shemachnisin by chametz. The only time we ever say we have to check a wine cellar is in a wine cellar where we normally put some sort of chametz. In other words, it's the kind of a wine cellar where during the suda, a person would go down, possibly with bread in his hands, and go out and take some wine. Those are the cellars we're talking about that have to be checked for chametz. But where is it exactly in the wine cellar we have to check for chametz? This is a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai yomim shtei shuras al pnei kol hamartef. Beis Shammai says two rows over the entire wine cellar. You have to check the two outermost columns, which are the uppermost rows of the martev. Now, the reason for this bedika, according to Rashi, is in order to keep a person from being over on the yisurim of bal yira, bal yamatza. But the actual chiv bedika itself, that's only midrabanan. So then the Gemara asks, when exactly is this or that we're talking about in the Mishnah? And there's a machlokes here. According to Rav Huna, the Orli Arbas are speaking that we make the Bedika on the morning of Erev Pesach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it means the night before. In other words, the night of Erev Pesach. And this is what we do today. Now we try bringing Raya's one way or the other. We bring down the Pasuk. Ucha'ar b'ikar yizrach shemesh. The Olam Haba of Tzadikim will be like the shemesh we enjoy in Olam Hazeh. This is a Raya that Or is equal to Yom. And then we bring other Raya's that Or is equal to Yom. Then we have a Raya Halu kol kochvei Or. This tells us that Or is equal to Laila. And we bring other rayas along that line also. We then bring a raya here in the Gemara that self-defense is mutter if someone is going to kill you. Haba lahargacha hashkem lahargai. If you know that a person is going to kill you, then in self-defense you're allowed to kill him. But if he's not going to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. Then we say yoyim arba asar asar basiyas melacha. We expand on this later in the fourth parak that we say the yoyim arba asar, which is erev Pesach, you're not allowed to do melacha. When is the time that you're not allowed to do melacha? From when? We say, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is referring to Or, this is referring to the night before. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishas Neitz Hachama. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov asks Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see that we split a halacha between two different parts of one day? And we answer, Gabitainis Tzibur Ad Masai Eichel. We bring down a machlokes, when is it that you're not allowed to eat? Beginning from when on a tainis? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Ad Elisa Shachar. Until Elisa Shachar you can eat, but after that you're not allowed to eat. Rabbi Shimon says, Ad Christ Hagever, until the time that the rooster crows. From after that point, you're not allowed to eat. So we see we do split the days, referring to a tainus tzibur. Therefore, it's possible here that we also split the day of Erev Pesach. Part of a day, you are allowed to do malacha. Part of a day, you're not allowed to do malacha. Then the Gemara says, we know that chametz is aser from the seventh hour of Erev Pesach, midaraisa. But the sixth hour, it is gzeira d'rabbanan, that chametz is aser both b'achila and b'hana. And in the fifth hour, is aser b'achila, but it is mutter b'hana. The Gemara then says, "Ein masin masuais el al chaydish shenira bizmane." We know from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Beis that as a Jewish month came to an end, the Sanhedrin would wait for Edom to come so they could determine exactly when Rosh Chodesh, the new month, would be proclaimed. This was called Kiddush HaChodesh. Today we have calendars that have been set for us, so we don't go through this process. But then, even once Edom came to Beis Din, it was necessary to announce the exact date of Rosh Chodesh, not only to the people of Yerushalayim, but to all the Jews as far away as Babel. This communication process was the lighting of Masuais, a series of bonfires which began from the top of the Har HaMishcha, which is Har HaZesim, moving on to the bonfire on the Har Sartava, which is today in the west bank of the Jordan, and finally so on and so forth until the word reached the Jews of Babel. Now, there were two and only two possible dates that Rosh Chodesh could fall. It could either be on the 30th day of the month, which makes that concluding month Chaser, or on the 31st day of that month, which makes that concluding month Mole. Today this is equivalent to one day of Rosh Chodesh and 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, respectively. So we say, Ein Masiyeh Masuyes Ela L'Chodesh Shenira Bizmane. The only time we light these fires is if Rosh Chodesh falls on the 30th day, since that's the pivot day. At that point, people wonder, is it Rosh Chodesh today or is it not? So we lit the fires to clarify this issue. However, if Rosh Chodesh wasn't proclaimed on the 30th day, it was very clear to everyone that the next day, the 31st day, would be Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, we needed no Edom and we needed no fires. This was the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, that no hachrazer was needed since kvar kitshuhu shamayim. And this is how they paskat. So the Gemara asks, v'emasai masiyin, when is it that we used to light these fires? Gemara answers, li'or iburoi. You lit these fires on the night after the 30th. Shmami, now we have a raya that or is equal to night. Daf Gimel. We continue to bring rayas that or is equal to night. And one of the rayas is, or shal yom ha-kippurim mispal sheva u'misvada. We say that the night of Yom Kippur, you're mispal sheva brachas v'shman esrei, u'misvada, and you say vidui. That's another one of the rayas. Then the Gemara says, li'olam al yoytzi adam dover miguna mipiv. A person should not say something disdainful from his mouth. So here the Gemara comes out with a maskana. That's why Rav Huna said, or. Really, there is no machlokes here, whether or is referring to the night or whether it's referring to the day. Really, everybody holds it's referring to the night. But Rav Huna didn't want to say the word leil, which is kind of an eerie way of saying it, therefore he used the term yom. So the maskana is, there is no machlokes whether it's day or night, but the only machlokes here really is in the expression, in the way they said it. The Gemara then says, li'olam yisaper adam b'loshen nikia. It's very important for a person to speak whenever he says something in a clean language, and not chash b'sham to say something in a bad way. How do we know this? Sha'arei b'zav karoi merkav, u'b'isha karoi moishav. If a person is a zav or a zava, the item that a person sits on becomes tame. When we're speaking about a man rider on a horse, the Torah refers to it as merkav, but by a woman we refer to it as moishav. Why? Because for a woman it's not snias to ride on a horse at all. Because as Rashi says, Pisuk raglayim. You're able to see the outline of her body, which becomes very clear. So the Torah doesn't want to refer to this way because it's not sneistic. Incidentally, this is one of the reasons why a woman shouldn't wear pants because of the potential of pisuk raglayim. Other reasons we know is because lo yiyah kli gever al isha is one of the other reasons that a woman shouldn't wear pants. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The olam yishana adam l'talmidei derech tzara. It's a good idea when a rebbe teaches his talmidim to teach whatever it is he's teaching to them in a very short and concise language, so it becomes clear instantaneously, and not that the Rebbe teaches it in a roundabout way. We also bring another raya about Lashon Nekiya. Baitkin b'tahara, u'maiskin b'tuma. Other people said, just simply, instead of saying b'tuma, here they said that it's just simply not tahar. What is this referring to? We know that grapes must be picked with a kli that is tahar. But we say that olives can be picked even with a kli that is tameh, or, as the Gemara says, a kli that is not tahar. As we've already seen a few times, we know that for a food to be mukhshar l'kabel tumah, it must first have been touched by some sort of a mashka. One of the seven types of mashkas, yayin, dvash, shemen, cholav, tal, dam, or mayim. And this is abbreviated with yad, shachat, dam. Now the picker who takes this has to be happy about these liquids touching them. So grape juice, where a person is happy, so therefore you need a kli tahar, because now it's mukhshar l'kabel tumah. But juice of an olive is not really something that's chashav. Therefore it's not really regular shemen what comes off, because it's not really regular shemen that comes off of them, the juice. Therefore the person is not really happy about them. Therefore it can't be mukhshar l'kabel tumah. Therefore you could lose even a kli that is not tahar. Then the Gemara brings down a story of two Talmidim that came before Hillel. One of them used a Lashon Nekiyah. One of them did not use a Lashon Nekiyah. And Hillel said about this Talmud that used a Lashon Nekiyah, muftach ani b'zeh, Shemara HaRabbi Yisrael. I'm sure that this person will become a Mara HaRabbi Yisrael, but Kachaya, that's exactly how it was. What we basically see from here is that Amoraim went to major steps not to say things in a bad way, but rather to try to say things in as nice of a lushan as possible. Daf Dalet. From Amaisa Mirabchia, we learned three things. Number one, Ovel Asur ben Ilas Hasandel. An Ovel is not allowed to wear Ilas Hasandel. Number two, Shmua Rechaika Einu Neheges Eliyem Echad. We know this a machlaikis. When, if a person hears a Shmua Rechaika about a person who is Nifter, how many days does he have to sit? Does he have to sit 7 days of Shiva, quote-unquote, or does he only have to sit 1 day? By a Shmua Kraiva, in other words, a Shmua where a person heard within 30 days of someone's death close to him in the family. If he hears it within 30 days, then he has to sit Shiva. But let's say he heard about something where someone was Nifter more than 30 days ago, which is called a Shmua Rechaika. Then we say, Einu Neheges El Yem Echad. He doesn't have to sit 7 days of Shiva, but rather only 1 day. And finally, the third thing, Miktsas Hayoyim Ba'avelus Kekulei. Then the Gemara says, people from Shevet Dun have a propensity towards Dinei Torah, and people from Shevet Zvulun like homes by the sea. And this is basically based on the brachas of Yaakov, which they got, which point in these respective directions regarding these propensities. The Gemara then learns it's a good idea to do a mitzvah as absolutely quickly as possible when the mitzvah comes along. As the klal is, Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvahs. And we learn this from Avraham Avinu, Vayashkem Avraham Babaker, by the Maisa of the Akedah. So even Bizman Hazar, whenever we have a chance to do a mitzvah as quickly as possible, we don't wait around, but we do it as soon as we can, like by Bris Mila, where we do it early in the morning. Then the Gemara asks, why did the Chachamim make the Chiyav Bedika the night before? Why at night? And we say there's two reasons. Number one, B'nei Adam Mitzuyim Bevateyam. The night is when the people come home from work. Therefore, they're in their homes. Therefore, that's the best time to do it. Number two, we say, Or Haner Yafa LeBedika. The light of the candle is most effective for Bedika at that time. In other words, since it's at night, we know that candles work very well at night. That's the best time for the person to do it when he's home at night. Then the Gemara asks, Kamaskir Bayis Lechaveire Ba'arba Asar Almi Livdik. If a person rents his house to his friend on the 14th day, on who is the one who the chiyuv falls to do the bedika? We bring a raya from mezuzah that the chiyuv is on the seicher. How do we see this? Because we know, according to Rashi, he learns the chiyuv of mezuzah from beisecha that is specifically a chayvas hadar, the person who is living in it. Bi'ascha nichnas v'yotzeba. The daraisa is actually on the door. The maskan is that as long as the rental happens before the 14th, the chiyuv is on the seicher. And handing over the key, according to Rashi, is the determinant on exactly when the timing actually happened. Rashi says the handing over the key is what creates the kinyan. Tosfos has an issue with this, since we never see anywhere that giving a key constitutes a kinyan. He learns that giving over the key doesn't make the kinyan, but rather it signifies the change in Rishus. Then at that point, a person makes a regular kinyan. Then the Gemara asks, Kamaskir bayis biyodalad, cheskosay baduk, or low. Gemara asks, let's say a person rents out a house on Yudalit, can we assume from a chazakah that the house is actually checked, or do we have to assume that the house was not checked? And not only that, the Gemara says, at this point, technically you should be able to ask the owner of the house, but the owner of the house is gone, he left the city, so now we can't even ask him. So you bring a raya from the following words, Hakol ne'amanin ne'amanim albir chametz afilu nashim avodim uktanim. We say that everybody is believed, if someone says, they made a biur chametz, a bedika, and a biur on the chametz in a particular house. We believe even nashim avadim uktanim. So the question is, there's a difference. You can't bring a raya from here. These people, the nashim avadim and uktanim, actually said that they checked it. But over here, nobody said anything. The balabas is gone from the house. We don't know what happened. So how are we able to make the comparison? So we answer, since the bedika is only midarabanan, and midaraisa bitul bialma sagi. So we say, nashim avavadim uktanim are okay as edim. And the original question that we asked before remains unresolved. Now over here we have a basic machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, since midaraisa we say bitul bialma sagi, the din of bir is only midarabanan. But the daraisa of tashbisu happens as chal at the time of the bitul. And the mitzvah of tashbisu could potentially occur even before the seventh hour of Erev Pesach. The mitzvah of Tashbisu can occur way before that. Tosfos learns that Bittul does not trigger the mitzvah of Tashbisu, but rather it makes it like Hefker, and then, at that point it's like Hefker, but the actual inyan of Tashbisu only is Chal after the seventh hour. That's when it's Chal. In other words, the Isser of the Indian of Tashbisu, the Mitzvah Asay of Tashbisu, is only Chal when the Isser of Bal Yirah, Bal Yamatzah is Chal. So according to Rashi, Tashbisu can be Chal even before the beginning of the seventh hour on Erev Pesach. But according to Taisvis, it can only be Chal in of itself at the time of the seventh hour on Erev Pesach. However, now, we're still left with the original question. Hamaskir Bayis Biyadalit, Chaskasei Badek Olo. Do you have to check this house or not, if you don't know whether it was checked or not? And here we have a number of shitas. First of all, we have the shita of the Tur and the Rush. The Tur and the Rush say that since the tenant can actually be mevatel de chametz, so you don't need a bedik at all. You can rely on the chazaka that it was already checked. But the Shulchan Aruch Harav says differently. He says that even though every Jew has a cheskes kashus, and we assumed that every Jew actually checked his house, in this particular case, there's also a different chazaka. There's a chazaka that there was chametz on these premises. Therefore, this counteracts the first chazaka, and therefore, this new person has to then go and check out this house. The Gemara then says, Nichale le'inish le'kiyume mitzvah v'memayne. We say that people are delighted to spend money to do mitzvahs. People are always willing to do mitzvahs, and they're willing to spend their own money to do mitzvahs. Tan Rabbanan. Ramei Ramei Eichlin Kol Chamesh V'Seifrin B'Tchila Sheish. You're out to eat chametz for 5 hours. And then you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Eichlin Kol Arba, you're allowed to eat it for 4 hours. V'taylin Kol Chamesh, you do nothing with it, you wait during the fifth hour, you hold on to it. In other words, during that time, Hanah is okay. V'sarfin B'tchila Sheish, and you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. And the Gemara asks, how do we know that chametz on Erev Pesach becomes Asar Bahana? We learn it from two psukim. Shivas Yamim Sa'ar L'Matzei B'Vatechem. We know that there are 7 full days that a person is not allowed to have title of any chametz. We also have a pasuk that says, Ach, b'yamarishan, tashbisu sa'ar mivateichem. Sometime on the first day, you get rid of it. Now, this is a paradox. How is it possible to have a full 7 days? And yet, at the same time, we say that in the middle of the first day, you get rid of it. So we learn, Ach is the rabbis arba asar labir. We say that Ach is lachalik. It becomes a miyut. What it does is it includes part of the day, Erev Pesach. Ach includes Erev Pesach. And now the first day of Pesach really becomes the first of the 7 days. Achdo is referring to Erev Pesach, and we cut that day in half. Half of the day we say is Mutter, and half of the day is Usser. This, of course, is only Midaraisa. Midarabanan, however, we say that we burn the chametz at an earlier hour. We burn the chametz in the midst of the fifth hour. Tafei. Bayeim HaRishon Shabbasein, Ubayam HaShmini Shabbasein, teach us that the first day of Yontif, referring to Sukkot, and the last day of Yontif, are Usser B'Malacha. But Cholamayit, it's mutter to do basic malachas. And we have a similar drasha for Pesach also. Tana de Berab Yishmael. Bischar Shleisha Rishain, Zachu L'Shleisha Rishain. In the schus of 3 psukim where we refer to Rishain, bischus being Mekayim, 3 psukim where the word Rishain is used, Lulav, Shabbasain, in other words, Yantav of Sukkot, and Shabbasain, the Yom Tovim of Pesach, we get the 3 benefits which are also referred to as Rishon. What are these 3 benefits? L'hachriv Zarei Shal Esav, L'binyan Beis Hamikdash, and Mashiach. These 3 rewards are also referred to as Rishon. We then have the drasha Rabbi Yishmael, L'sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. This is another proof that you can't have chametz after Chatzos, since you can own any chametz once the Karban Pesach is slaughtered. Rabbi Akiva says, Ach b'yom harishon cannot refer to the night of the 15th, since burning is Asur on Yontif. Therefore, the burning of chametz has to be referring to the 14th. That is actually the Zman Bedika and the Zman of Bir. Amar Rava, Shma Minam Rabbi Akiva Tlas. From this particular drash in Rabbi Akiva, we learn 3 things. Number 1, Ein Bir Chametz El Asreifa. Bir Chametz is only possible to do via Sreifa. Later on we're going to learn that according to the Rabbanan, we don't necessarily need Sreifa. Number 2, Havara Lechalik Yotzis. We know that all of the Lamed Tes Malachas, the Torah does not specifically say what they are. We learn specifically what the 39 Malachas are, either from the Leches HaMishkan or Halacha L'Maish Misinai. Those tell you what the specific 39 Malachas are. The exception to this is Havara, possibly Haitzah also. How do we know Havara is Aser? From a special pasuk of Leisevaru Eish V'chol Moshe V'Seichem. This tells you that Havara is Aser. And this in fact teaches you specifically that Havara is Aser. This is unique, because this is the only Malacha that's mentioned specifically in the Torah. So why is it that the Torah specifically mentions this Malacha and none of the others? So there's a Machlaikis. Is Havara Lelav Yatzis or Havara Lechalek Yatzis? If we say that Havara is Lechalek Yatzis, which is what we generally say, We say, but this comes to teach you, that each and every malacha is considered separate. And therefore, if you do five malachas, you're chayev for five different karban chatos. Not that if you do five malachas, you have to bring one in total, but you have to bring five separate ones. And finally, number three, we do not say, v'lei amrina mitoich shabiyantiv hayal v'hutra havara biyantiv l'tzarech, hutra nami shalei l'tzarech. We know that havara, lighting a fire, is mutter for food, but is it okay also to light fires for other purposes too? So we say that cooking is okay, but to cook not for the purpose of food, this is a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, it is okay, havara, to do other things besides cooking for food. According to Beis Shammai, it is not okay. And Rabbi Akiva holds, like Beis Shammai. We actually paskin like Beis Hillel, and we say, mitoch shehut l'tzarech, chutshunami shaloi l'tzarech. And on that point, we will conclude this shir. Since this tape covered a lot of complex Melech HaShabbos inyanim at the end of Masechta Erevin, a closing review on the Masechta Erevin, a hakdama to Masechta Pesachim, and the foundation yusaidus of Masechta Pesachim on the first few blat, we moved at a slower pace than we usually do. However, Amir Tz Hashem, we will continue at a regular speed on the next tape.